We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did I say earlier this week, Lance? What did I say? That the Astros would be the 2 seed when the playoffs started? Do you see where they are right now?
Well, they're behind Seattle.
They're tied with Seattle. And they're going to win this series with Seattle. And they're 1 game behind Detroit right now. 1 game.
Yeah, I don't think the Astros are going to be the 2 seed.
They're going to be the 2 seed.
I think you can wait.
Well,
you can,
they're 1 game back. Why would you say that they can't do that?
You can wait if you like. They're also not super far out from getting eliminated from the playoffs right now.
Oh, yes, they are. They just destroyed.
Did you see Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland is still 4 games behind. I mean, come on.
No,
I mean, give them some love.
4 games behind.
Cleveland has won 7 in a row, and Cleveland is now at 81. They're 3 games back, or 2.5 back.
2.5 back.
You're closer to Detroit than Cleveland is to you.
Okay.
I mean, so, but you have ye of little faith.
No, that's fine. I'm not. Look, I'm just going to be. This is realistic Friday. I'm not.
What? It's not realistic when they're 1 game behind them.
Either no pitching, no Yordan. It literally takes a miracle.
Just swept the Rangers. Going to sweep the Mariners.
No, we're not.
Yeah. Watch this. Just watch this.
Is Fromber pitching?
Fromber is, but Hunter Brown pitches tonight.
Fromber's pitching.
Yep. Just beat DeGrom.
Who are you going to – Fromber's law? What, they've taken losses in, like, what, 8 of the last 9 games Fromber's pitched? Every time he pitches, it's a loss.
That's why he's due.
He sucks.
That's why he's due. Right? That's what I'm talking about.
He's not doing. I almost wonder if he's doing this on purpose sometimes. I mean,
I don't think
he's so damn pissed off at the Astros. He's like, here, I'll just throw it up there. I don't care.
Yeah,
it'd be the dumbest move ever, obviously, because it's a contract.
He's losing money.
Yeah.
Losing money.
He's losing money regardless.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. He's mentally so fragile. I mean, it is, and that's always been the case, though. That's always been the case with him. But right now, his head is not in this thing.
No, at all.
Yeah. And I wonder what that conversation is going to be like if, in fact, they are in the wild card or in the postseason and playing if they're the 2 seed. You got to wait for your – I wonder what that conversation is going to be like when he's not the number 2 starter.
Well, I don't think it will exist, but we'll see. I mean, he's not pitching like it. He doesn't give you the best chance to win right now. Jason Alexander does. I don't know what, and you don't really have to make him happy. He's not going to be here next year.
No.
So
no.
You don't really have to, you know, Joe Espada doesn't have to worry about making him happy. And I can't imagine Joe Espada really likes Fromber anyway, if we're really being honest. You think he likes Fromber?
Not the way, not the stuff that he says. He had to bring him into his office when he, you know, he crossed up, the fifth
Salazar.
String catcher. Yeah. Yeah. When, you know, so, I mean,
One of our catcher, one of the players who was on the roster that we couldn't believe was on the roster.
Yeah, right. One of those
guys. One of the many this year.
Yep. So, I mean, listen, they're tied now. Biggest series of the year. It's Seattle in town. Seattle's playing good ball, although they did cool off and lost the game. So they lost one out of three there. So here we go, and we got the biggest series of the year. Hey, the Astros play like they did against the Rangers, and they face some really good pitching there. They got some really good pitching that they're going to face here. But you know what? They win this. The Tigers are on. You know, the Guardians went in there and swept the Tigers. And they've won seven. The Guardians are now seven straight.
It is Tigers. Crazy how bad the Tigers are playing, and yeah. how well the Guardians are playing.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Guardians are they got rid of a couple of guys. I mean, they lost a couple of guys to suspensions because of gambling.
Well, that was a while back, though.
No, but they've lost those guys for the year.
Yeah, yeah. But the Guardians, I mean, look, they look dead in the water playoff wise now. The Astros, you know, where I'm talking about, if the Astros can hang on, you don't want to get swept by Seattle. Not the way the Guardians are playing, but the Red Sox are actually the team that the Guardians are have to catch first. The Red Sox are right behind, you know, the Guardians are just a game and a half behind the Red Sox. So it's the Red Sox technically who the Guardians are trying to catch because you know, either the Astros or Seattle, one of them's going to win the division. One of them is likely to make the playoffs as a wild card. Yankees are going to be a wild card team. And then that next wild card spot is going to be between probably the Red Sox and the Guardians. The only way you don't make it is if you get swept by Seattle and then you don't handle your business in road series against the Angels and the A's.
Right. So, yeah.
But you control your own destiny, as we've always said. You know, you got 12 down the stretch where you control your own destiny. So you start off 3-0.
This one tonight is the biggest game because whoever takes that one game lead, at worst, you lose one gear. You're going to leave Houston one game behind at worst.
Right.
So this is a big, big deal tonight with Hunter Brown against Wu tonight on the mound.
It's a battle of two aces, really.
Yep.
I mean, it's good on good, so we'll see what happens. But the bats need to show up. They showed up against DeGrom. They got to show up here, too. And they got to show up early. They need to show up in the first four. And, you know, none of this stuff like Sanchez the other day when you're wearing DeGrom out and Sanchez swings at first pitch. Don't do that. Get Wu deep into counts. You know, go old school Astros and make him work. Get to that bullpen.
Oh, absolutely. And the way they made DeGrom work in that first inning was a thing of beauty. Make Wu work. Well, here's the thing is Carlos had a great at-bat.
Yeah.
Great at-bat. Pena gets a hit. And then Carlos worked, I think it was a 9 or 10 pitch at bat, and it was just awesome. He started 0-2, and he got it to 3-2, and then got the knock, and then you strike out, and then the huge, after a walk, the huge hit by Yiner. That kind of thing, starting fast tonight would be awesome against Wu. Make him throw, like you said, a bunch of pitches. And, you know, Paredes comes back, the best guy on the team. The best on the team to see pitches is Paredes, right? I loved what Joe Espada said. If it's not a good pitch for him, when Paredes was on early in the season, he'll take – if it's not a fastball down the middle, Paredes is going to take it. Paredes is not going to swing at your pitch early in the count. And Joe said, you know, he'd rather be 0-1 than 0-1.
Yeah.
And that's such a great approach at the plate. Just don't hit a pitcher's pitch.
That's a great what a great quote that is.
I'd
rather be 0-1 than 0-1.
Right. Exactly.
That's Altuve's the same way. He's like, I'm going to wait on my
pitch. No, he doesn't do that. Oh. He doesn't care. He's hacking.
He's walking. He is the
What did Chris Sola say? You don't get off the island.
Get off the island by taking.
By taking pitches. No, by walking. You don't walk off the island.
No. You don't walk off the island. That's right. You swing off the island.
Yeah. To get off the island, you got to swing. So that's the way Altuve.
I don't know that I'm talking about that with Venezuela, but yeah.
Right.
But the island in general.
Right. Exactly. General. Well. Right.
But
right,
you know the thought here. Isak, for what John was talking about, Chandler Rome reports Isak Paredes continues to progress well, and the next day or two will determine when he's activated. Could be as soon as this weekend. Joe Espada also said he will, quote, ask Paredes not to run 100% on the bases, given the nature of the injury. So that's not ideal if he's on base and, trying to score from second.
Yep. So,
hey, what? Don't run hard. Okay. I guess we'll play station to station.
I don't know now, unless you put Altuve in left field, if Urias could get in, Ramon Urias, who has been
wonderful. Well.
I could certainly see Urias starting tomorrow at second base with Altuve in left and Paredes DHing or Caratini DHing, depending on if Paredes is back.
Would have been interesting if Yordan was still on the team, how they would have manage this,
and
I don't know where Paredes would have played.
Right, I don't know how. Yeah, well,
You're not benching Altuve.
He played second base, and Altuve would play left, and Yordan would DH. That's what you'd have to do.
Yeah. Do you want to do that? Is he if he can't run? Like, do you want?
Well, Paredes if Yordan was if Yordan's ankle was healthy, he'd be in left, and Altuve would DH and.
Well, wait,
or
no,
Paredes,
no, no.
Or Altuve at second, and Paredes.
I think Paredes is only DH.
Yeah,
I don't think he would. Taking, I don't think they'll put him in the field if they don't want him to run.
Yeah, no. Well, second base, you don't have to do that much.
Well, but you have to range, and you have to range suddenly with sudden explosive movements. So
right.
I don't know. I mean,
well, no,
just hit. Just
you DH Paredes, Altuve at second. You'd have to live with Altuve at second, even with Fromber on the mound. But Yordan's not there, so you don't have to. So, Paredes. Paredes coming back would be, I don't know, he hasn't hit in so long. It's going to be interesting to see. Although Yordan came right back raking. Jake came back raking. If you can hit, you can hit. And Paredes can hit.
Will say, Urias, over the last, he's just won for his last 19. So
yeah.
He hasn't been exactly on fire. Well, He was hitting 300 after on September 1st. He's now currently hitting 241.
Well, one of the hardest things to do in baseball is get inconsistent playing time. It's amazing to me, guys who come off the bench.
Yeah,
and
he's only
hitting
130 this month.
Yeah.
So it's been as a 386 OPS this month. So it has, and you're right. There's been some pinch hits here and there, but. They have not gone to him as much, and it's hard to get out of it. When
such a good fielder. Holy crap.
Yeah,
that guy
really good. Really good. Boy, we've got some really good fielders across the board. Pena's typically, he makes some spectacular plays. He's just had some tough errors this year. But in general, he's actually,
He's been good. And Carlos at third.
A really good player. Yeah, and
Carlos at third has been great.
Carlos is great.
Christian Walker.
Walker
is,
can dig it out of there.
Yep. No, second base has been Altuve's second base has been just fine.
It's fine. That's why I don't know why. We'll have to try to survive it and just hope that he doesn't throw the season for us at second. Like, what? Altuve's he's just second. It's no big deal. Second base is no big deal. Altuve's fine.
Yeah,
he can play second base.
We got a lot of Texans sound that we're going to play today, but this is Astro. This is the biggest series that we've seen since last weekend of last year, which was huge. Here we go again, and listen, it's out, it's all out there this week right here. Win the division, maybe you get to the second seed. You're only one game behind that.
It's possible. If you sweep,
you're fighting to just stay alive in the playoffs.
Yeah, so, you just can't. You either sweep, but don't get swept.
Yeah,
1-2, you can potentially survive. 2-1, I would say you should cruise into the playoffs. 3-0, you're probably going to win the division. I say that, but that's a three game lead.
Yeah, three.
You're going to win the division if you're 3-0.
Three game lead with six to play. That's not bad. That's not bad. And Seattle still would have to go to. to or have to play the Rangers still. So, and we'll see if the Rangers are. I saw a video of guys talking about the Rangers that Marcus Semien put together. Hey, everybody come. We're going to watch the games and come and hang out. And he said just a couple of guys showed up. And he said in the past, everybody'd show up. It was a great team, a team camaraderie with the Rangers. Now there's nothing. They got no team camaraderie.
Really?
And that is, you know what, in baseball, I don't know in baseball because it's such an individual sport, but it obviously matters.
Dude,
it obviously
162, matters. 162, if you're not with your team, you need that team just to pull you through, that team
stuff. All right, we got a break. We got a lot of Texans sound to get to, the Texans and the Jags, and there's another must-win game for our Houston Texans. But first, you talk a little Allstate.
Allstate Windows and Siding. I'm going to focus on the windows. The windows are made in Texas. Why is that an important thing? Well, number one, the quality is much better than some of the windows that are made in China that end up here in the state. They're not really made with the materials necessary to withstand the extreme weathers we have. That's why it's such a big deal. The extreme weather includes long-term droughts, excessive humidity to where it's just, you know, it's just moist in the air at all times. The heat we know about, the derecho that we had, hailstorms that we have out of nowhere. Then you have hurricane strength winds that can come in, and you know, and even if you're not directly on the coast, we of course experience issues with that. There's just extreme weather we deal with, and you need windows that are going to protect you from that, and they're going to protect your home from that, and they're going to help keep your home keep it sealed the way it's supposed to be. That's why it can lower your energy rates by as much as 40%. That's a major, major deal. So it looks great. The windows look phenomenal. Their workmanship when it comes to taking the windows out, the old windows out, there's no glass breakage. They're able to replace them relatively quickly. I mean, obviously same day, but they get it done pretty quickly. And the other great thing is that your home is going to be protected not just against the elements, but against the bad guys. It's double pane, double strength. It's just much sturdier. It's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. Make sure you tell them that Lance Zierlein from ESPN 97.5 sent you, and you are going to get a big, big break on price when it comes to your window job. So make sure you mention ESPN 97.5 for additional discounts. It's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here with us, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. The Texans, well, the media, the coordinators met the media yesterday. We'll have some Matt Burke sound about what they're doing. But Nick Caley, boy, he caught a lot of questions about the way, about the running game, a lot of questions about pass protection.
I'm going to say it again. I just, because it bothers me that this narrative is out there a little bit. It's because this is anything, I can be talking to anybody, somebody who is just, I don't know, if they know what I do for a living and they come over and the exterminator or whatever, man, what are they going to do about that offensive line? I'm telling you now, it's not necessarily a massive problem right now in pass protection, the offensive line. Watch two games very closely, all 22. It's not as bad as you think. It really isn't. I think my bigger concern right now is CJ throwing on time, and CJ not getting panicked when the pressure mounts a little bit. That pressure mounting is part of the NFL. That's part of the pass rush process. And the one-on-one stuff hasn't really been too bad. You've had some bad losses. It's glaring when you have a bad loss. When Lakin Thomas gets knocked down and a guy gets a sack, when it happened to Jared Patterson, those are two sacks, and they're bad. No question about it. But on the whole, the unit hasn't been as problematic as I expected.
The stats put them middle of the pack.
Right. I do think blitzes, I think the Texans are not as a unit, and this really includes CJ and it includes Nick Caley and wide receivers, they're not handling And in one instance, Dare Ogunbowale, who also looked really bad. Like, three of the sacks were really bad that you had the other day. There's no question about that. But I think that they're not – that the blitzes, I don't quite know who to – it's not on the offensive linemen are picking the men up they're supposed to pick up. You know, now that I think about it, this is what makes it look bad. They run that delayed blitz, right, with Levante David. And so it looks like, Ed Ingram, you screwed up. He kind of not. It was just a smart blitz. Then you got Laken Tomlinson got beat badly. Then you got Jarrett Patterson got beat badly. And Dare Ogunbowale got beat badly. I remember all four of those. They all looked really bad. On the whole, though, it wasn't bad one-on-one, but it wasn't good against the blitz. CJ couldn't beat. Here's the thing. Teams don't think CJ can hurt them when they blitz. They have no fear. It was obvious that Todd Bowles said, this guy can't hurt us. We're going to blitz. On third downs, we're going to show blitz, and we won't even blitz. We'll bail out of there. We're going to force them into throwing short, and then we'll bring a blitz. We'll show double A-gap blitz, and then we'll blitz off the nickel, off the slot. They did that so much, and they had no fear of C.J. Stroud. They don't fear C.J. in that offense at all if they blitz. No one else is going to. Remember how Green Bay last year, John, showed everyone, Green Bay and Minnesota showed everyone, listen, just keep running twists. The Texans can't do anything about it. And they saw it the rest of the year. I got a feeling you're going to see blitzes the rest of the year because nobody fears the Texans hitting big plays against them. Nobody.
Yeah. And, listen, they can't stop. They can't stop them, especially a delayed blitz. It's like, oh, my God. It just go right up the hole. Just follow your guy. And you're going to get to CJ.
You got to be disciplined, Ed. You got to stay there and look for it.
Well, but there's predictability. Dell, let's do. So far, and it's a small sample size, and I'll give Nick Caley that. But asked whether or not he was too predictable, because when they're under center, they run 67% of the time. When they're in shotgun, they throw 87% of the time. Here's his response.
I mean, I think we always try to have some balance in everything that we do. The one thing I would say is early on in the season, you know, especially if you take the inventory of the first two games, you get back to a lot of get back on track situations. You know, at that point, we're trying to make some positive plays. So, no, in the long term, I'm really not. Because I feel like we do a good job of trying to stay on top of that. Some of these outcomes, you know, come into situations in the games that evolve, whether it's obvious pass situations, et cetera. So I think it dictates it game by game. Certainly, you know, you want to have as much balance as you can.
You have some more Nick, because Nick had that's a standard answer.
Yeah. Is it too quick to say, you know, hey, Nick, you're too predictable, two games in. It is a small sample size. Maybe this thing evens out over the long run. I don't know. Maybe. Now that he's seeing, maybe we are.
Oh, we can't do
this. You know, how about a little bit? Well, he was asked about motion, not using motion, and he was like, well, sometimes you're going to use motion against some teams and sometimes you're not. It depends on the team.
But he acted all excited about motion.
He hasn't used motion. He really hasn't used play action. He hasn't. He's been under center running. He's been in shotgun throwing. I mean, you know, he's a first-timer, and these things are going to add up unless now he starts to have make a concerted effort to, you know, change things up a little bit. And so far he hasn't. So now, in fairness, D'Amico said this, and he's right. He says, Dare doesn't fumble. Tua Toa makes a tackle. We're 2-0.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably.
Maybe.
You still had to score a touchdown against the Rams.
Right. But you were
getting
down to
It's not like you're a touchdown scoring team.
You were getting down to the final minute of the game. You were, you know, going inside. You were inside the 15-yard line. Maybe there. Or at least 1-1. Toa makes a tackle.
You have a good chance. Well, you had some momentum, too. You had a good chance to be 2-0, yes.
Yeah, you had a chance to be 2-0. So, you know, it's a fine line. But you know what? Winners win, and losers don't. So
yeah, in the meantime, you're 0-2.
In the meantime, yes, right. And that's the reality of it. You are what your record is.
Nick Caley had a phrase that I've never heard before, and I'm like, oh, these are one of these smart football phrases, because, you know, especially young people come up with, like a younger generation, you know, Gen Z, millennials, came up with rephrasing, like, in a very general sense, you're not homeless anymore, you're what? You're unhoused. you're food insecure. There's just, you know, it's changing words and changing phrases and phraseology. And I saw a phrase from Nick Cayley, and I'm like, what is that? I have never seen that phrase. I'll find it for you, but it's a new one that I haven't heard. I want to see if you've heard it before. Let me just look through here, and I'll see if I can find it.
All right, we'll do that. And while you're doing that, I'm going to talk about Chastain Ford. I'm going to talk about the people. I want to talk about the history. I want to talk about the how great they have been over the years. It's the number one Google rated Ford dealer in Houston. Number one Google rated Ford dealer in Houston. That tells you something. You're going to have a great car buying experience. I have four times. Four great car buying experience. And if you can't go to them, they'll come to you. And listen, whether it's service or sales, you got a fleet of vehicles and you can't, we got to tow them all in. No, they'll come to you. They'll come and fix your vehicles on the site. They've got mobile fixing units. I don't know what they're really called, but that's what I call them. All right. While other dealers are stacking on fees, Chastain Ford is going to keep it honest, straightforward, transparent. If you're going to buy a truck or SUV, I feel like there's only one place to go. There's a reason they're number one in commercial dealers amongst commercial dealers, because because you want a great deal, you want a great product, and you want service, and you got all of those things with Chastain Ford. Okay, they're Houston's best kept secret. I'm trying not have them be a secret anymore. You got 2025 F-150 XLT models, 0.9% financing, or just $388 a month in a lease. Are you kidding me? This is great deals, and you'll love Chastain Ford. ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I think I found it. Here's the phrase, John. And it's not, maybe it's used in football. I just don't hear it very often. I think everything on helping the offensive line, Nick Cayley said, I think everything that we think about before we draw up any pass play is with the intention of having the best protections we can possibly have. So that's personnel driven from us and from the teams we're playing. That's schematically what challenges, what front structures, what coverage contours you're going to see. I have never heard coverage contours. And I know what it means. You're going to see shell coverages. You're going to have safeties back. Is it going to be flat across the top? I get what it is. I just haven't heard the phrase coverage contours. So that's a new one, for me at least. What teams activate certain blitzes. And we got this was – so Nick Cayley's first two games, he gets a defensive front full of disruptive players with the Rams. And then he gets one of the craftiest signal callers, defensive signal callers. And, I mean, Todd Bowles, I cannot stress this. My dad told me when he coached with him in Arizona, he goes, let me tell you, Todd – first of all, he loves Todd Bowles because Todd would have – he'd had this weekly thing where he would kind of rag on all the coaches. He would write a coach's information chart, and he would take all these coaches and talk about, and they were all older coaches with the Cardinals, about this guy dated Raquel Welch, and then she threw a drink in his face. Like, he would write these funny things each week for all the coaches to read. But my dad said, I don't know that I've gone against a guy other than Belichick who knew more about attacking an offensive protection than Todd Bowles. And we definitely saw that on Monday night. We definitely saw that because they don't have great individual pass rushers over there. And yet they found ways to get free runners and to get a lot of heat on that pocket. So,
To your point earlier, CJ against the blitz, his numbers versus no blitz is like it's night and day. It's night and day, and they're going to continue to blitz him, and the Texans are just going to have to find a way. I don't think he was as asked about Dare last night. Yesterday, I listen. Dare has been a disaster, Maybe Dare is going to be better, but so far Dare.
What do you want him to ask? How can you keep playing Dare?
Yeah, right. Well,
that's the question.
Well, I mean, as bad as Dare has been to start this season,
huge fumble, a huge sack given up.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
you're not playing a lot of snaps. Your snaps.
How the hell do you
get
a 1.4 rating in Pass Pro? How do you get that?
Well, going 0-1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. No, he was in there more than that. Listen, and they had plays that worked. They had the screen to Nick that worked really well. They had the little out to Woody that worked really, really well. And they don't. You know what? Do it more. If they're bringing it and you got to dump it off quickly, dump it off quickly. You know, I don't. We'll see whether or not, you know, Nick Caley is going to get better. He's got a lot of stuff that so far it's not great. It's not great so far. With Nick Caley, but he's going to get better as he goes along. Unfortunately, you know, are we in a learning process here, or is this team good enough to win?
Oh, well, I think you're in a learning process. Well, you're always in a learning process, unless you have a really veteran team that's won a lot of games. But Nick Caley is in a learning process also.
Yeah.
So I think that's I don't want it to come off like I'm killing Nick Caley every time I do this. It's just the unfortunate reality. It's like Cam Smith. He's like Cam Smith as a play caller. He's going to have some good moments, and there's going to be things he doesn't know. Cam Smith doesn't know how to handle certain pitches right now. He doesn't know the book on certain pitchers. Nick Caley doesn't know the book on certain – he can watch tape as much as he wants. These guys change their strategies and game plans, and he doesn't know the book on a lot of these defense coordinators. You could say, well, they don't know the book on him either. Yeah, but he doesn't have a book because he's never done this. It's like Cam being in a batter's box and he's going against, you know, some established major league pitchers. It's hard. It's hard. Eventually it'll get better, but these are growing pains that the Texans knew they were going to have, or they should have known they were going to have when they hired him. And it's not Nick's fault. Nick's going to get better. He's going to be better as a play caller. He'll figure certain things out. And I don't think D'Amico's sitting there like, oh, I shouldn't have got a rookie play caller. I can promise you that's not how D'Amico rolls. He is, hey, this is part of the process. We're going to be okay. And that's why D'Amico's better to be a head coach than I am, because I'd be like, man, what the hell are we going to do now? And D'Amico sits there like, we're going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think, listen, D'Amico is, when asked this week, hey, how much are you in on the offensive? He said, I'm in on everything. And
he said,
and
stops
CJ
with me.
Said, CJ said, and Tom Brady talked about this. CJ said Bill Belichick would come in and watch film with them and tell them what the defenses were doing, because nobody's better at knowing what defenses are doing than Bill Belichick.
Right.
And D'Amico does that too. D'Amico sits in with them and shows them what's going on. And you know what? Can you have anybody better to learn from than guys who were DCs and great about. Not only a great player, but also a great DC in D'Amico. Can you have a better guy teaching you? No, I don't think so. So, he's fully involved. I can't be happy right now, though, with what Nick's. I don't know about we're going to be fine. We got to work harder and we got to be better. And Nick Caley even said that. When asked, okay, the goal line debacle, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just feel like he lost his mind because they didn't get a yard on second down. I feel like, oh crap, we better throw the ball.
Well, Vita Vea scared him.
Yeah,
because Vita rolled right through Lake and Tomlinson.
Well, then run fling or do something.
Exactly, get away from Vita Vea.
Yeah,
run misdirection.
Yes,
run misdirection.
Run a crossbuck. Remember when they were called crossbucks?
Yeah, the one guy goes this way. He's got one dog going this way, one dog going that way, and the guy, what do you want from me, huh?
Right. And that would fool Vita Vea. He couldn't. Vita
crossbuck
would not know what to do against a crossbuck.
Man,
okay?
You're going old school.
That is way old school, but. Here is, I mean, this is a bit of a word salad with Nick Caley, but here is Nick Caley talking about the goal line idiocy.
Down there, we ran the ball, obviously stuck in a run, you know, didn't really gain much on it at all. Then you get into a third down situation, you know, and at that point, have a lot of confidence in the guys that we have on the team. So called a red zone, low red zone play that we have a lot of belief in, and it didn't work out. You know, again, our process, I feel confident in the process. Gets to fourth down, same thing, call a low red zone, third down, call it third and fourth down play. Didn't work out the way we want it. So, again, got to assess those things and move on and learn from it. And, you know, just I can do better. We all can do better. So moving forward and trying to grow.
I don't know. We're not. Nick Cayley knows more football. Nick Cayley's forgotten more football than we'll know, than I'll know. Anyway,
me too. Yeah.
But is it that hard? If you got four downs, you run the ball on third down. You run the ball on fourth down. You run the ball there, and I stay away from. But you can get closer to the goal line. I mean, you were inside. You were at the one. At the one, and get the big, put your big package in, get downhill. Everybody, see if they can't blow it. Stay away from Vita Vea and run the ball into the end zone, especially with two plays. I just don't see throwing it on low percentage throws at the 1 yard line.
Yeah,
is bad. At the very least, roll CJ out.
Well, how about a jet sweep? For example,
yeah.
You get somebody running in motion, and you either jet sweep it or you use that as a deception mechanism, for linebackers. I think the jet sweep with Jalen Knoll or even a running back, you could have had a second running back in there running that, and it either acts as an opportunity to deceive and to as a misdirection tactic. Or you give it to him, and you know those big wide receivers that you loved blocking with in space the other day? Because he did it a lot. He ran reduced. He had his wide receivers in tight, and he was using them to block, especially Xavier Hutchinson and Justin Watson. You got Nico, who's an okay blocker. Xavier Hutchinson, who's a good blocker. Justin Watson can block. Harrison Bryant is a good blocker. Why not run a jet sweep and have those guys bunched up on that formation on that side? You can have and they can be real tight to the line of scrimmage, and you have Harrison Bryant, you know, sitting there, you probably had a two tight end set down there. You can make it look like what I'm telling you is you could have had those guys on smaller guys, big body on smaller or same size bodies, maybe an occasional linebacker, and had a running start. And had a running start for a running back or Jalen Knoll or whoever who's coming across the formation, getting the handoff. You could have, you know, and that's something where you get the ball out in space and you got big body wide receivers just trying to get a long enough sustain that the guy can turn the corner. That's something that, you know, that's something that gives you a much better chance than thinking you're going to run at Vita Vea. And yeah. It's way better than trying to throw where you're sprinting to one side of the field. So now you've eliminated half the field, and you ran a rub route. What you did is you ran a rub route down there, and Jameel Dean did a great job of passing off one route and taking the rub route, who was going to be the rub option was going to be, I think, Jaden Higgins. He basically read what they were trying to do, and they switched out. That's Kevin Ross, the defensive back coach for Tampa, doing an incredible job. The Texans tried to run a very basic little rub route, and what Tampa did is Tampa said, we're going to switch these off. So if one guy does this, I'm going to change to the other guy. And they did it seamlessly, and the Texans had nobody open, and the play was dead. So one smart move by Tampa, one fundamental move, they played fundamentally, and the play was completely dead. You can't have a play that you're already shrinking the field, and then you have an option that is ruined. If Tampa plays it correctly, that's my point. Nick, you gave yourself very little chance to succeed on a fourth down. Very little. And, you know, the other throw is a really tight window throw. Like, Nico Collins really sold that first fake as much as he probably should have. But still, it was still a low margin throw, a low margin for error throw that CJ had to make. So, hopefully it gets better. I mean, I think it will get better with time. It will get better. But it's got to get better quick.
It's got to be better in a hurry.
You can't go 0-3.
No. Got to be better in a hurry. And you know who's really, really good? Who's really, really good? Air team. Now, that's the difference. We're talking about coordinators who don't have much experience. How about the experience of 30, 40 years in the business? How about the experience of taking over from your family, your parents, pass it down. Now they're passing it down. The Curtises have been doing this, and there's a reason that Air Team is so good at what they do. They've seen it all. They've got guys that have worked there for over 30 years. When you stay with a company for 30 years, it says a couple of things. First of all, how smart you are, how good you are at it. You've seen everything. Secondly, how good that company is because they want to stay there. They want to make a career there. They want to be with those people for all of those years and, you know, and working together, knowing everything, having seen everything. When you have a team that's been together and they've seen everything together, it makes it a lot easier. Okay, this is not a fly-by-night, never will be a fly-by-night, stand behind all of their work. I've seen it. I've seen it myself personally, and you will see it too. When you have an air conditioning issue or a heating issue, but we don't use that too much, but if you have an air conditioning issue, and once again, you won't have an issue if you haven't come out and look at your stuff before it breaks down. If you have any issue whatsoever, 24/7, 365 days a year, call Air Team. 713-936-5346, 713-936-5346, or airteamltd.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Did you just hear my commercial, John?
I did.
That was 100% real, by the way. The intern said, Lance, by the way, the intern was bold yesterday. He was bold. He made a move for the food early. Most interns sit back and act like, I don't know if I can have any. He was standing up like, you know where the paper towel, are there more paper towels back there? I'm like, yeah?
Yep.
Well, you think you're going to jump on this food early? But
no, did you just say know your place?
Well, I'm just saying, that was a bold move. Okay. Our interns now love sports. Like I've talked to three of them. They're big. Like they want to talk sports. I may have to see which one has a. I'd like to have an intern challenge one time. See who can argue the best in sports. But my point is, he goes, you had a caller yesterday who got really mad that you said how he said you were rolling your R's when you said Taqueria Saranda. Said he was really mad, and he just said you're not Mexican. Stop talking like a Mexican and.
Oh,
you're German.
God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had that happen before. And I'm like, it's not rolling. Taqueria Saranda is not, that's not, those are Spanish words. And it's not rolling my R. John, show people how you roll R's. What word do you roll your R on?
If it's double R.
So carro. Churro.
Churro. Sí.
Perro. Or perro. Which is butt, or perro, which perro. Is dog. Yeah. Yeah. If you say a dog's butt, you say perro's perro. Perro de perro.
Right. Okay, well, I don't... But no, it's not a dog's butt. A perro, it means butt, not the butt. Culo is butt.
Well, I don't... Well, that's actually true. It's B-U-T, yes. And B-U-T-T, yeah, culo. But is culo slang? Is that actually mean butt for real, or is it...
culo is butt.
That's a real word. I always thought you call somebody a culo, you're calling them a butthole.
No, it's you add a little bit to it from what I remember playing in a predominantly Spanish-speaking league. It's not culo. It's culo.
Wait.
I've told
playing
it.
In a predominantly Spanish-speaking league.
Yeah, I played soccer.
Did you play in a lower league, La Liga, lower level?
I played soccer, and everybody who played there was...
And they call you culero?
No.
Wow.
That's just what I'm saying.
That's gone too far.
See,
dude.
It is?
That's the word I was trying to avoid.
Did you dump me?
Yeah, that was the word I was trying to avoid.
Why did you dump me? That's not a bad word.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, actually.
Yes, it is.
Are you sure?
That's why I was dancing around it before you got to it.
Oh, I did not know
Kulo's
that.
Culo's okay. That's not.
I was trying to explain there's a little extra that gets you to what you just did.
I don't feel like
you
should have said culo. I don't even think you should say the C word.
No. Well, there are different C words. You can say culo. You can't say what you said.
See, we're going to have a list of words we can't.
So maybe that guy is right. You
well, there is a list.
Spanish.
I don't know if you heard, but there is a list.
But not in Spanish.
No,
because you said the
yes,
P word.
Yes, there actually
in
is. There actually is. I'm sure on their Spanish-speaking stations, they can't. They know the words. You just don't.
All right, then butthole, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
There, you happy?
What's wrong with him?
No,
just go back and say butthole.
Okay. So, Dell,
like racist guy wants me to do, say butthole, don't say culo.
I just think he wants you to stay away from the R's, I think.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Dell. Yeah. What happened last night? With
what do you
team?
Mean? I told you what would happen. The game would be closer than people thought, and they would lose.
Dell was absolutely 100% correct.
I told you what would happen.
They covered.
They do that all the time.
No, they didn't cover. It was 11
yeah, they
and a
did.
Half.
It was 11 and a half.
You mean
it
the
was,
Dolphins?
Oh, the Dolphins.
Yeah,
covered,
I told you. Then that's why, speaking of Taco de Sarandas, our guy lost because he took the Bills, right?
That's what he's trying to play. And John gave us a stat. Was it you or John?
John
gave
us that
stat that was like, it was crazy. It was basically a 0%. It had a super low winning percentage if you played a favorite of over what?
Over what, 11 or 10?
Over 10.
And the total was under 50 or something like that?
You take, it's 20, it was 21-0 for the underdog. No, for the favorite. 21-0 if the favorite was over 10,
and under,
was
under
a double-digit favorite. And the under-over was under 54.
Yeah. And it was 50. Which,
and guess what? And guess what? And now it's 21-1.
Yeah, people don't understand, and rightfully so, because why are you paying attention to a rivalry that isn't, because it's more hammer versus nail. But every time they go up there, like three out of the last four times, maybe now four out of the last five times, the game is closer than people think. Like, people thought they were going to get the disaster scenario where the Dolphins lose like 35-10 and we're talking about how everyone's got to go. That's never how that game generally plays out. It played out the way at the end because the Dolphins make losing plays. But as far as the – I knew that was going to happen.
They had two guys who are really tough to cover in Waddle and Hill, and it showed up. Now, Tua didn't throw for a bunch of yards, but you had Ollie Gordon, who, by the way, how about Oak State's Ollie Gordon giving a little power boost? Ollie looked good yesterday for the
running
for
between the tackles
for the Dolphins. The Dolphins were awful on the ground defense, which I expected them to be. James Cook was just gashing them, and they had a billion corners out. But and so on paper, you think, but it never works that way in the NFL.
No,
like I saw Joe Fortenbaugh for ESPN, who is a good handicapper. You know, some of his favorite plays this week are the Rams plus 3.5 against the Eagles. I guarantee you Vegas is going to need that because everyone's going to be on the Eagles. He likes Cleveland. He likes the Browns plus 7.5, whoever they're playing. He likes dogs. He likes dogs, especially dogs, you know, that are over key numbers. But it's hard, man. It's hard in division games to be laying double digits. That's hard, especially early in the season where both teams are still carrying. Like, Miami is still carrying. They're still fighting. And
they've had slow starts last year, and they fought back to be in the race. In fact, they started off bad because Tua got hurt, and then they came into here controlling their destiny, and then obviously the Texans beat them. That switched there from controlling their destiny to not. So they've been slow starters before. I was not surprised by how that game went, and of course I wasn't surprised how it ended because they were going to make mistakes. I didn't expect Zach Sealer to make the mistake. He's one of their more well-respected players, and a defensive tackle trying to block a punt led to what you might think. The problem for him is he's too big to be running through the center. Like, it's one of the Ferguson brothers. A guy probably weighs 240 pounds. Zach just ran him over. And got, if you had a more stout player there, it's probably better for the Dolphins.
Did you notice that? Okay, this is just a nothing. I just happened to notice it twice. Malik Washington trucked people twice.
Oh,
trucked DBs two times, once by the goal line and once on that little run.
A first down or something.
Yeah, he trucked guys twice. Little Malik Washington ran over DBs two different times.
Yeah, he fits the mold of all those 5, 9, 10 receivers they have. And
he can never have enough. It's like Daryl Morey used to say, we can never have enough 6'7 power forwards.
It's just a bunch of
– And Mike McDaniel says, we can never have enough 5'9 and under wide receivers.
And Waddle amazingly can win on the outside because of his quickness, but they don't have a lot of guys who can be him. Or if they're not operating the middle field, that's what Buffalo took away. They dropped everyone in the middle, and that's why you saw a lot of swing passes. You see Tua look to the middle, no one there. He's got to drop it off the H-hand with that convoy block that they do a lot. So, they're 0-3, and it's the game itself wasn't surprising. You know, they got the Jets. Sorry, guys.
So there's a
Jets-Dolphins game on Monday night.
He's sticking around, right? It would have already been announced.
Well, Stephen Ross said he's going to be patient with them. The owner said that before the game. I don't think losing the way they did is going to enhance his willingness to get rid of them. Sorry, everyone. There's a Jets Dolphins game coming up next Monday. Just so you're aware.
Oh my god!
I just want you to know that game. There could be two 0-3 teams.
Thursday night game?
No, that's the Monday night game.
Oh god!
I said next Monday. I said next Monday.
Oh my! Is there two games though? And they're going to do two.
I don't
two
know
at
that.
Once.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, let's do a two at once. Two at once.
I don't know if it'll be that, but it's a real possibility. You have two 0-3 teams.
Put a college game on, like Boise versus.
It would be a MAC game, more likely.
Yeah, just that's fine. Give us a MAC game to watch.
Just a warning to everyone.
Hey, shout out to Rice who took care of.
Yeah,
Charlotte.
They beat Charlotte last night. Good for Rice. They're 3-1 now. Rice only lost to the Cougs.
I want to get back to the Astros when we should come back. So let me ask you this question. No. I'm gonna give you a little teaser to think about, and then we'll attack it a little bit later in the show. Right. But I was thinking about Buffalo yesterday, and Buffalo feels kind of likable. It feels like a team that a lot of people who don't have a team kind of like Buffalo. I want to see if they remind you of somebody. They're reminding me of somebody, and it was mentioned on the broadcast, but not in this way. And it really triggered something where I say, "Boy, I've seen this whole thing play out before."
Right.
And I want you to think about Buffalo and who they remind you of.
Okay.
The Bills, obviously, I'm talking about.
You know what game day reminds me of? Game day reminds me of feeling great. That's what game day does. GameDayMensHealth.com. GameDayMensHealth.com. There's locations. So if you're downtown, you go see Jarrett. All right. He's on Commerce. If you're in Friendswood, you go see Kyle, Katie, Amina. Okay. In Mount Bellevue, you see Paul in NASA in Clear Lake. You see James in Tomball. You see Connie in Pearland, Angelia, Sugarland, Ray, the Woodlands, Jeremy, West Chase, Westheimer right there at the Beltway area, Creepal. Sean is in Willowbrook. You go see these people, and they take care of you. Go to the website. Find the location nearest you. Go to Game Day Men's Health. Get a free consultation. Get labs on site where you find out right away. See how it's different. You will get a consultation with someone who is so knowledgeable, okay? I go to the Willowbrook location. I love what they would Patty and Jamie do for me. They're awesome, okay? Patsy and Jamie, they're awesome. I am a big, big fan. I've been doing testosterone treatment for a while, and I'm a big fan of the way they go about it, how good they are, how much they care, all of those things. There's a difference. There's a difference in these testosterone places, and I just think Game Day Men's Health is better. Find the location nearest you, GameDayMen'sHealth.com.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.